This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive, no refrigeration, 10-year extended shelf life bacon. The thickest media center-cut bacon in the industry at fullycookedbacon.com.
America back on track. Bill Martinez live.
And we begin with a Fox News alert. Almost one century after chemical weapons were banned by the civilized world after their horrific use in World War I, we are sadly witnessing another suspected chemical attack in Syria. Activists say at least 40 people were killed, hundreds wounded, in a targeted attack on a hospital in a rebel-held city east of Damascus. Hello, everyone, and welcome to America's News Headquarters. I'm Eric Schoen.
And I'm Arthel Neville. Many women and children are among the dead. Pictures of the horrific attack now coming into our newsroom. This incident, part of a resumed offensive by Syrian government forces after a truce with a rebel militant group was broken. Reaction is pouring in from Washington today.
This attack with chemical weapons, which are banned by international conventions, is absolutely horrific.
Clearly, there needs to be a response. There needs to be an international response.
Assad's at it again. They see us, our resolve breaking. They see our determination to stay in Syria waning. And it's no accident they use chemical weapons.
And we have Fox Team coverage for you. Jillian Turner is in Washington, but we begin with Connor Powell. He is live in our Mideast Bureau. Connor.
Yeah, Arthel, rescue workers from the opposition-aligned group, the White Helmets, are saying that the death toll in Douma could increase, perhaps even dramatically in the next few hours or even days. Now, the video that we're getting, it is disturbing. The video shows families, parents and children, some parents even clinging onto their children, suffocating in their homes and in an emergency shelter, many with foam in their mouths. It isn't clear what substance was used, but it does appear to be far more powerful than some of the previous chlorine attacks that we've seen. The Assad regime is denying allegations of using chemical weapons, not only this time, but all the previous accusations as well, though the U.S. and other Western powers have said there is clear evidence the Assad regime has and is using chemical weapons. The White House and other Western governments still are looking into this latest accusation right now. Douma is the last area held by rebels in the suburb of eastern Ghouta outside of Damascus. This is an area that we've seen some of the heaviest fighting during the last 8 years during the brutal war in Syria. The last 3 or 4 months has just been a total warfare there. And Douma is one of the last areas that the rebels control there. The group that's there is a militant group. It's called the Army of Islam. They've been negotiating with the Assad regime through Russia about leaving there, but they've been pretty stringent about not actually evacuating that area like some of the other rebels. And the Assad regime, backed by Russia, has really won back most of the area held by opposition forces, not only with airstrikes, but also allegedly, and they've been accused of using chemical attacks in the past, particularly chlorine. The fighters of this Army of Islam have refused to surrender. And Arthel, one of the questions that's being asked right now is, why would the Assad regime, since they're clearly winning on the ground, why would they use chemical weapons now? Well, one of the sort of theories is there really isn't much of a price to pay internationally. The Trump administration, of course, launched 59 cruise Tomahawk missiles at an army air base in Syria about a year ago, almost exactly a year ago. But that's really the only price to pay so far from the international community.
We'll see if that changes. Connor Powell, thank you very much.
Are you still looking for that one iodine that you can really trust? A medical doctor-endorsed product that is backed by honest research and true integrative science? Then search no further. Go to NutraMedical.com for Dr. Bill Deagle's Nutriodine, proven time and time again to be the very best iodine available for you. Nutriodine is the only Tesla-activated monatomic plasma iodine in the world. It optimizes mitochondrial function and generation of new mitochondria, from totally neutralizing the venom from a desert recluse spider bite in Southern California to eliminating malaria parasites reported by medical missionaries in Central India. Dr. Bill's Nutriodine is simply the most powerful healing formula there is. Nutriodine clears the body of all known pathogens, restores it to an alkaline state, and even promotes stem cell regeneration. Order Dr. Bill's Nutriodine today at 888-212-8871 or visit us online at NutriMedical.com.
Bill Martinez, live.
Minutes after the top of the hour. It's always great to have you along with us. For more information on the show, you can go to BillMartinezLive.com. Eddie Scarrett joins us now. Reports on media for the Washington Examiner, previously covered media and politics for Mediate.com. His writing has also appeared in the New York Post, Real Clear Politics, and Adweek. Eddie, how you doing?
I'm good. Happy to be here.
Hey, boy, I'll tell you, it's been an exciting time for you with the release of your new book, Fraud and Fiction. Congratulations. We're going to do everything we can on our end to promote the book because it is a counter to fire and fury, is it not?
Yes, and it's actually very, very good.
Yeah, if you might say yourself, right?
Exactly.
Well, I love this because even on the dedication, I love the dedication. You say, dedicated to the national media's burning and undying hatred for President Trump, without which this book would not have been possible.
Right, and if it weren't for the media, I don't think I'd have a job, so I'm always grateful.
Well, you got to have that point-counterpoint. There's no doubt about it. I mean, this is why I do what I do. I mean, we're both of us, and I think this is why we get along so well, is we're both pursuing the truth, no matter where it leads, and we're fortunate enough to be in a position where we can do that. Some people just do not have that opportunity. They're so controlled by their editors and, you know, their institutions that they're not allowed to pursue the truth like you and I do.
Oh, sure. Yeah, exactly. And that's why the Washington Examiner has been very good.
Mm-hmm. Yep, exactly. So Fraud and Fiction, the new book, The Real Truth Behind Fire and Fury. Right off the bat, you lay out, you know, Michael Wolff's background, the good, the bad, the ugly, and all in one chapter, right?
Yeah, and so, you know, the reason for this book is because, you know, we went through what was basically a crisis for the White House, a crisis for the country. We had people wondering whether the President of the United States was mentally incapacitated in some way. And that's all because of not just because of Michael Wolff's book, but because of the national media turning it into a crisis. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm covering in my book. I'm covering both of those things. But we do go one by one from the most, you know, sensational, biggest claims in Michael Wolff's book, all of which are untrue, down to the serial inaccuracies. We document them very extensively. And then at the same time, it is a critique of the national media and the role they played in turning this book into what it became.
Yeah, exactly. And of course, it came and it went. But in its wake, it did leave, you know, people a bit confused, Eddie, because of the outlandish claims that were made. And I guess for those people that already have a perception of Trump hatred, this kind of just filled that cup all the more for them. And the mainstream media almost, it almost seems like they got away with, you know, promoting this this big lie. And then they wonder why they're referred to as fake news and why their credibility is dwindling.
Right. That was a point that I made in Fraud and Fiction over and over again, was that much of what's even in Michael Wolff's book, especially the claims about the president's mental health, which were refuted fully by his doctor, spending an hour answering questions by reporters about it. But that was not new with Michael Wolff's book. Morning Joe spends about 3 hours daily talking about that, even well before President Trump was elected. They did this through the campaign. David Brooke does it about twice per week in his New York Times column. He's not a psychiatrist, psychologist, anything, a therapist, anything. And yet he was diagnosing the president with narcissism, any number of mental disorders you can find in the book. But, you know, when the book came out, because Wolf said that he, mostly because there was an interview with Steve Bannon in there, or several interviews, that kind of gave it the credibility that many in the national media needed to say, oh, look, it's true. Everything he's saying all along is true. But, you know, I point out over and over again, if this were true, we would have seen actual signs of it, and not just Trump saying the things that the media hates to hear. But, you know, when he would give hour-long press conferences, it seemed to be a very sharp, very capable human, answering all those questions, going through it. So that's just, again, one of many claims we're dealing with in Fraud and Fiction.
Yeah, the thing amazes me still is Steve Bannon. He should have known better. Michael Wolff comes with a reputation, right? I mean, he's not loaded with all kinds of credibility walking through the right. White House door like that, right?
Right. Yeah, and I, that's something that I really could not quite get to the heart of. I acknowledge that in my book was that Steve Bannon was doing things throughout his time in the White House that contradicted what he had been working for. His website at Breitbart, they had been backing Trump the whole way on pretty much every single issue. And then when he gets in the White House, he completely undermines the president in one or two interviews. Two interviews. You have him going and talking to Michael Wolff. The president, he told me that, you know, Michael Wolff didn't have any access to him, the president. He was like, and we had no idea that Steve Bannon was going and talking with Michael Wolff this whole time. But not only that, there was that interview, and I think it was that magazine, National Affairs or National Interest, something like that, where he completely undermined the president's agenda on North Korea and China. So I do acknowledge he did some very weird things. I still don't know why. But yes, that is something that's in the book. And I think if it weren't for Steve Bannon, much of the book would have been ignored.
Yeah, and I want to reinforce what you just said, and that is that in a conversation, you actually talked with the president, and he told you flat out he never met with Wolf, and he didn't even know, I guess for all intent and purposes, that Steve Bannon was doing interviews with Wolf.
Right, and the president, he called right after the news broke of my book coming out. This was about, I think, 3 weeks ago. He called just to basically say what he had said before. He said that Michael Wolff had no access to him. He called the book a fraud. He said it was a con. He again acknowledged that Steve Bannon had been talking with Michael Wolff, though he said that nobody in the White House knew that. And he also reiterated that he might still sue, Michael Wolff. I don't know that I see that really going anywhere, but he did say it. But exactly. He did say all those things.
Eddie, what's that like for you as a reporter? I mean, it's not like you get daily phone calls from the president, but, you know, you get a call from the president. What's that like for you?
It was kind of surreal, to be honest, because when the news broke, I was excited to see that, you know, people were talking out of the book, and then suddenly the White House calls and says the president's on the line and would like to speak with you. And I'm thinking to myself, wow, for my first book, that's pretty great.
Yeah.
And we did. We talked for about 8 minutes, and he continued talking about the media. He said he didn't like the press coverage he's been getting, particularly from CNN, and he didn't like the media coverage he got after he made the announcement about North Korea that he was going to hopefully meet with Kim Jong-un. And then he, you know, kind of touted what he believed are his accomplishments for his administration. But I told him, I said, maybe you'll get around to tweeting about Fraud and Fiction.
Yeah, we can hope so, right? Well, we're talking with Eddie Scarry, his brand new book, Fraud and Fiction, The Real Truth Behind Fire and Fury. We're going to get into those incredible claims that were made in the book that he is refuting, Michael Wolff's book. So stay with us. We've got more coming up from Eddie Scarry right after this.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
I tried other brands, but I came back to my sunshine.
For the best hot or cold pain relief, get the best. Get a Sunny Bay heating pad.
Sometimes life can be a pain in the neck or back or shoulder.
And the best relief for that pain is a Sunny Bay heating pad. Did you know that the American College of Physicians said that one of the best ways to treat muscle pain is heat therapy? Sunny Bay heating pads are handmade with high quality, can be used at home or at work, and have a lifetime 100% positive rating on both Amazon and Etsy.
Why take another pill?
Many people use our Sunny Bay heating pads alone and got rid of the neck pain.
Long distance travel or long hours in front of a computer can take its toll on your body.
See why our homegrown small business at sunny-bay.com has tried to help people just like you. Get your Sunny Bay heating pads at sunny-bay.com. That's sunny-bay.com. Or call 253-678-1361. For hot and cold therapy, sunny-bay.com.
Hear that? That's the sound of a house being trashed while a gang of thieves ransack the place. And what they don't steal will be destroyed.
This year, resolve not to be the next victim of a break-in. Go to faketv.com and discover a device that creates the illusion someone inside is watching TV, even when you're miles away. Security is a mindset, and Fake TV should be part of your security solution. Be vigilant, but not fearful. faketv.com.
Anytime, any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Over the last 4 years, three of the biggest online precious metals dealers have gone bankrupt and their owners put in prison due to theft and fraud. Having previously purchased precious metals, can you be sure you purchased the right product? Did you receive proper advice? Or were you stung by one of these companies? Miles Franklin has been in business for 29 years without receiving any material customer or regulatory complaints ever. Maintaining an A+ Better Business Bureau rating and residing in Minnesota, the only state in America that regulates the precious metals industry, making doing business in precious metals with Miles Franklin the safest choice, bar none. Call us at 866-485-4346 and let us review your portfolio at no commitment whatsoever. Again, that's 866-485-4346. Get the peace of mind you deserve in working with a precious metals company with a reputation like Miles Franklin. Again, that's 866-485-4346. Miles Franklin Precious Metals, the name you can trust.
Fully cooked, ready to eat bacon. I'm talking thick, meaty, center cut, presidential bacon. Savory and delicious. I buy some, I use some, I store some. Awesome. No refrigeration needed with a 10-year shelf life. NASA pack technology. Bacon. Fully cooked, fully hydrated, ready to eat right from the pack bacon. Or warm and serve. Life-saving, ready to eat bacon. 10-year shelf life bacon. Ships free at fullycookedbacon.com. Fullycookedbacon.com.
Lower taxes, less government, and self-reliance. They live here. Bill Martinez live.
I'm not alone. Back with the America. Bill Martinez here. Eddie Scarry is with us. Eddie, of course, is the media reporter at the Washington Examiner, based in Washington, D.C., and he has released his new book, his first one, Fraud and Fiction. I mean, pretty awesome, Eddie. I think your first book, you know, the president calls you. I mean, what next big leader of the universe do you want to write a book about and get a phone call from?
We'll have to see. Hopefully it's sooner than later. Though I do want your listeners to know that they can very easily get the book. They can get it as an e-book, or they can get the paperback. They just have to go to Amazon.com, search for Fraud and Fiction, or they can search for my name, Eddie Scary.
Well, congratulations for your first book. I know when I've spoken with other authors, you know, you write that first book and the next thing you know, there's a dozen more coming. Do you see that down the road?
Yeah, I have actually already heard about a possible book that a publisher wants to do. I haven't agreed to anything. We'll have to see. But definitely, I do want to get into something else, but let's just get through this one first.
Yeah, without a doubt. Well, we're on a tour right now, and I'm sure that, institutions like ours, independent that we are, will give you plenty of platform to talk about your book, but the mainstream media, I'm sure, is choking on this.
Yeah, I think someone was just asking me, do you think you're going to get any big interviews on, say, like CNN or CBS? And I think that the book is a little bit too hard on them to be invited on their programs. And also, so much of the media was invested in the claims in Michael Wolff's book that they to completely go back now and say, oh, maybe these weren't exactly right. I don't foresee that happening. Though I did Fox News yesterday. I'm doing radios with guys like you, and I have another local Fox interview later tonight, so it's all going well.
Well, we'll keep spreading the word on your behalf. I mean, we expect the mainstream media to shun you because it's quite the indictment. I mean, it mirrors back, their foibles. I mean, they went in full-fledged into this Michael Wolff opinion piece, and they tried to present it as news, which I think is most unfortunate. It breaks all boundaries of true professional journalism, doesn't it? Not.
Yeah, the book it covers the whole media landscape, but there is an entire chapter dedicated to Morning Joe and MSNBC because just you kind of saw the rise and fall of Michael Wolff in his book just watching their show for about 2 months. You had them for days talking about how, you know, they kept saying the book rings true, even if certain bits of it can't corroborate it, it rings true. It's not until about 2 months later when the bit in the book about Nikki Haley having an affair with the president that they bring him on. They say, okay, we're going to hang up the entire credibility of your book on this one question, and then they kick him off the show. But because he lied about it, he said, well, I never really said that, though he did say it. Right. But the thing is that they kick him off the show well after the damage is already done, and that's the theme throughout my book, Fraud and Fiction.
Exactly. Well, let's talk about these big claims that Michael Wolff had made. I mean, we already touched on the whole psychiatric analysis, which supposedly was kind of an unwritten rule or an accepted rule anyway, that, you don't diagnose somebody that's not your patient. And, of course, let's not forget there are HIPAA laws that say you cannot openly share information of a patient who has come to you for help, but yet these guys can't help themselves, all in the name of saving the country and having an opinion, which we say in the absence of fact, opinion rules, and that's what seems to be running these institutions, the mainstream media.
Yeah, and that rule that you're talking about is supposed to apply to doctors, psychologists. I suppose that many of the people, the David Brookses of the world, they're not even doctors or psychologists, and yet they took full license to make these claims just based on, I have no idea what, taking one psychology class in college about 2 decades ago.
Right.
You saw that over and over again. It became this meme. To the New York Times credit, they did publish a single op-ed by a guy who's a linguist, an actual linguist, and a professor, I believe, at Columbia University, who was talking about, the way that Trump talks is not a sign of, mental decline. It's just someone who, over the years, has gotten more and more comfortable with who they are. I include that in the book, and that was one of the highlights.
Well, maybe Brooks and some of these other knuckleheads, they might get arrested for practicing medicine without a license, and maybe that might clear up some of this landscape, but meanwhile, fake news abounds, and it's up to we, the people, to be more discerning. Let's talk about the outrageous claims that you went head-to-head with from Michael Wolff's book here, Eddie.
Sure. I mean, just to give you one example, and this is not necessarily Trump-related. Well, it started Trump-related because it was the very first chapter in his book is all about how the Trump campaign was actually campaigning to lose the race. They never wanted to win. It was all just for the purpose of losing. And the idea behind it from Michael Wolff is that Trump was somehow going to come out of this race stronger as a brand. His brand was going to be more profitable. But that's just simply logically not true. The Trump campaign was about the working class people. He's not going to suddenly have all these new people running to the Trump golf courses. They cannot afford to visit the Trump golf courses. So there was going to be no change there. If anything, it was going to hurt his brand. But leading into that, he talked about how Peter Thiel, the tech guy who had endorsed Trump, talked about how he wanted to enter a partnership with Roger Ailes and potentially Trump after the campaign, and they were going to launch some kind of TV network. But I talked to someone who was very, very, very close with Peter Thiel. He said, no, he met with Roger Ailes one time a couple years ago or a few years ago and came away from it actually thinking Roger Ailes was kind of dumb and would not have been a good business partner. So that was never something that was going to happen. But that's just one of many things in fraud and fiction we're talking about.
Did a lot of fraud and fiction come almost exclusively from Bannon and Michael Wolff's own demented imagination?
Well, we do know that Bannon was the key, I think, to the whole thing. You know, Michael Wolff does say that he was in the White House, sitting there on a couch, I guess, talking, chit-chatting with people as they came and went. But it, you know, even seemed that the president was acknowledging that Steve Bannon was the key to a lot of this. A lot of the things that are in the book came from him, and he says that nobody in the White House knew that Steve Bannon was talking with Michael Wolff over and over again throughout the course of his year or whatever in the office. So, yeah, I would say that's accurate.
Mm-hmm. Now, the bottom line, in Chapter 7, you address Fire and Fury directly, and you just call it out for what it is, that I guess for journalists it would be embarrassing and really a sloppy work, wasn't it?
Oh, absolutely, and it's in that chapter. There's also an entire chapter that's just about the author's note in Fire and Fury, where Michael Wolff is, I guess, claiming to explain what his source methods were, how he came to decide what was true and what wasn't. But anybody reading that, any professional journalist, including there was one who did a review for the New York Times, was like, I don't understand this. And there's obvious areas where Michael Wolff kind of just wipes his hands of the whole thing and says, well, I don't necessarily know if it's true. You know, that would not pass muster in any newsroom. You know, he says that we have some on the record, some are off the record that became on the record. He doesn't explain what that means. He says that sometimes he just allows his sources to offer a version of the truth without necessarily knowing himself. In some cases, he determined what was true. You know, it's impossible to get through, impossible to understand. But I think that was kind of meant to create some cover for the very outrageous claims in his book.
Well, is he subject to some sort of some sort of lawsuit for the some of the statements that he's made? I know you said President Trump is still, considering it.
Yeah, and I don't think that could possibly go anywhere. I'm not a lawyer, but just my experience in the business, I couldn't see a lawsuit like that going anywhere, particularly when you're writing about the most famous person in the world. Mm-hmm. But I think that, the book definitely, and it's possible, you have to see the first version of the book, but there were certain points where I came across as I'm reading, I'm like, I wrote about this in my book, was the supposed conversation that happened between Tony Blair and Jared Kushner. That was, Tony Blair sucking up to Jared Kushner because he wanted a White House job. But it's like, why would he be sucking up to him when he's been, Prime Minister of the UK for a decade? I don't know what he needed to be sucking up for. And when Michael Wolff talked about that in his own book, you're reading it, it's pretty outrageous. And you get to the end where he goes, but it's not clear if Tony Blair, or basically it's not clear if this was hearsay or if it was solid stuff.
Exactly. Well, Eddie, we got to leave it there. I know our audience is looking forward to getting their hands on your book. It is a point counterpoint, a fraud versus the truth, and it's easily discerned. Fraud and Fiction, the Real Truth Behind Fire and Fury. Eddie Scarry on Bill Martinez Live. Thank you, Eddie. Great job here. Appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
If you are trying to quit drinking or doing too many drugs, listen to me. You don't know me and we'll never meet. I had a problem like you once. I drank and used to party a little too much till it got out of control and almost ruined my life. I realized I needed help to fix my problem before it totally destroyed me. If you've tried to fix your drinking and drug problem and you know you can't do it alone, you need to call the National Treatment Advisors. They'll immerse you into a 30-day program to replace your old habits with new habits and totally change your life. And if you have PPO private health insurance, the entire program may be covered. Fix your problem right now before it gets any worse. Get clean. Call now and learn more. 800-296-0906. 800-296-0906. 800-296-0906.
It's been said, any society is only 3 missed meals away from chaos. Those times may be near. Think about it. Our country faces multiple terrorist threats and aggressions from Russia and North Korea. Social unrest and violent marches yet again may lead to looting of stores and city shutdowns. And our crumbling infrastructure leaves our power grid vulnerable to long-term outages from a single cyber attack. When the chaos from any one of these threats arises, the government knows it can't provide during a widespread national emergency. That's why you need your own plan for self-reliance. That's where My Patriot Supply comes in. Get a 4-week survival food supply for only $99. That includes breakfast, lunches, and dinners. Order online at preparewithgcn.com. $99 for 4 weeks of survival food that tastes like homemade cooking and lasts up to 25 years from My Patriot Supply. Get your kits today at preparewithgcn.com. Free shipping is included. Preparewithgcn.com.
What would your life be like if you woke up each morning with new vitality, feeling better than you have in years, and you noticed a difference in your sleeping patterns, blood sugar levels, and had a sense of well-being overall? There's something that is changing thousands of people's lives, and you could be one of them. It's called Heart and Body Extract. Sharon Harris, co-creator of Heart and Body Extract, talks about the positive effects of Heart and Body Extract.
What happens with the formula Heart and Body Extract is it's giving the body the necessary vitamins, minerals, amino acids, enzymes and phytonutrients so the body will heal itself. And yes, the body does have the ability to balance blood pressure, balance cholesterol, clean and unclog the arteries. It can also work on balancing the circulation for diabetics. So the body is an amazing thing. It simply needs some help so it has the tools to heal itself.
Heart and Body Extract gets results. To order your 2-month supply, call now, toll free at 866-295-5305. Order online at hbextract.com.
It's about time someone had the courage to say it.
Oh, it started by me. I'm gonna believe it. It started something good. Yeah, I believe it. I celebrate the truth. It's working me through. I'm just
starting. Bill Martinez, live.
Hey, welcome back, America. 28 minutes before the top of the hour. I am Bill Martinez, you know, and we all need hope. Think about it, you know. And speaking of hope, no one knows the feelings of hopelessness and overcoming those feelings of hopelessness better than our next guest, author Libby Gill. Libby has overcome a family legacy of alcoholism, mental illness, suicide, and more to, in turn, share her strategies for success on the Today Show. She's been featured on CNN, Dr. Phil, and elsewhere. And she's with us right now. Libby, good to have you with us here on Bill Martinez Live. How are you?
I'm good, Bill. Thank you for having me.
Well, great to have you here to talk about, you know, the things that you've learned. Congratulations on your book, The Hope-Driven Leader, Harness the Power of Positivity at Work. But I want to talk about the crucial underpinning of your experience, and that has to do with hope. The most critical yet overlooked element of success in work and in life, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Mm.
Well, you know, it's funny. People think of hope as sort of a squishy or kind of an abstract concept. But it's, to me, it's exactly the opposite. And I've worked in Hollywood for 20 years in television. Now as an executive coach, I go in and I work with leaders. And I find that who people are at the deepest core of themselves, when they bring the best part of themselves to work, they really are feeding hope. But on the other hand, I also hear a lot of people say things like, hope is not a strategy or hope is not a plan. And what that really, that's kind of nails on the chalkboard to me.
Exactly.
Because, yeah, it's really about tapping into this sense of purpose. Mm-hmm. And so I always used hope as kind of the, that's, I'm fanning the flames, you know, I'm just trying to move towards my best life.
Exactly.
And then I discovered as I was, as that became sort of my mantra for work and life, that there was this body of science from, called hope theory, and it comes from medicine and positive psychology. Not unlike the happiness research. We've all seen, you know, mm-hmm. many different happiness books, which are great. But hope is its own unique thing. It is a, the hope theorists, the real pioneers out of the medicine and psychology tell us that hope is about having a fundamental belief that change is possible.
Mm-hmm.
And
exactly.
most people would say, well, sure, who doesn't believe that? But if you think about your own life, there is somebody that we all know that says, you know, you can't fight City Hall or it is what it is. And those are sort of the people that are starving hope as opposed to feeding it. And hope theory is really about that sense that change is possible and an expectation that what you do as an individual, only what you do drives the outcome. It's not your boss, it's not the government, it's not your spouse. It's the actions that you take every day. So when you link your beliefs with your daily behaviors, focused on a vision of the future that's going to get you where you want to go, but it's also grounded in pragmatism, where you understand that obstacles and challenges come with the process. Then you've got the stamina, the wherewithal to keep moving towards that, even if it's difficult.
Well, the one thing about hope, and there's so many elements to it, is that it can sound a bit ethereal, but if you are a hopeful person, and you've seen how hope has served you, and that it's a reflection of that inner light within your deep spirit that, you know, kind of leads you through some dark areas of life. Because we will all hit those peaks and valleys of life, and those valleys that draw us down, that cause our body, you know, to shrink and our heads to bow down. And, you know, we've gone through in this culture, as you know, Libby, over the last you know, 8 years or so, a lot of people feeling very hopeless. And suddenly now there's a lot of hope that's been ignited, not to make this just a political thing, but I think it's a, it is a victory for humanity that now in this country you have people that are a lot more positive than they were heretofore.
Yeah, and you're right. Even without getting into politics, which is so divisive, I mean, you see people taking action, taking a stand that might not have ever done it before. So they're kind of coming to that personal reckoning of how do I infuse a sense of hopefulness? How do I make the future better, not just for myself, but for others?
Exactly.
And in my book, In the Hope-Driven Leader, I get into the specifics of that, including how you can measure hope. Mm-hmm. And what was so fascinating to me was there's a psychologist who was one of the pioneers of this field who took a sabbatical and thought, hey, I'm going to go check out some books at the college library and read up on hope, only to discover there weren't any academic or scientific books. Plenty of poetry and philosophy.
Right.
And he found it was because it had never been measured. And, of course, you know, scientific types like to, you know, it doesn't count if you can't measure it. So he created a hope scale. And I had the good fortune to be able to recreate that in my book and then add some additional tools that will take you through how hopeful are you and what's in the way.
Exactly. Well, we have a limited amount of time, but very briefly, give us an idea how we do, how do we measure hope?
Well, first of all, you go through this 12-step quiz that will measure sort of what they call your agency, your ability to harness this.
Right.
And then I take you through an exercise where you look at, check in on yourself for a week, 2 weeks, and just catch yourself at different times, and I explain this in detail, but what are you doing? How are you feeling? Are the behaviors, the actions that you're taking at any given time, are they leading you towards you where you want to go in the future?
Mm-hmm.
And just that check-in will tell you, hey, you know what? What I'm doing today, like what I'm doing right now, talking to you, spreading this message of hope, that leads me to where I want to go. And everybody can do that. It's not as difficult as we think.
Yeah, some of the questions, I can think of many ways to get out of a jam. I energetically pursue my goals. I feel tired mostly. You're rating yourself on this. And so, you know, the bottom line is you're going to get an idea of the measurement of your hope. I worry about my health. Even when others get discouraged, I know I can find a way to solve the problem. It's in her book, The Hope-Driven Leader, and this will encourage you because it'll give you an assessment. And so you don't have to go walking around like Eeyore with your head hanging down, unless that's what you want to do. And if that's what you want to do, then you could find yourself quite lonely because, let's face it, people are more attracted to people who have hope than do not, right?
Right. We want to be the Tiggers of the world, not the Eeyores.
Exactly. Exactly. And you know, and for you, Libby, for what you've experienced in your life, I mean, this is revelation that you, as a result of the experiences, you've had some tough family legacy to deal with.
Yeah, and I had my brother was so gracious to me. Mental illness, as I said, runs in the family, or as you said. And my brother is schizophrenic and bipolar. I'm his guardian. And he let me interview him and talk about, it's a chapter I call Radical Hopefulness. And it's about people that have really challenging homelessness, illnesses, mental and physical. And we sit back and think, boy, those are so huge. What can I do as an individual? But in fact, I had a lot of people, formerly homeless people with severe physical illnesses, tell me what others can do.
Right.
And how we can help them and ourselves feed that level of hopefulness.
Not that complex, is it, when it comes down to it?
No, it's being about the best version of yourself. And if we would all be a little kinder and a little more compassionate, we'd probably have a better world.
Let's all raise our hands and swear to that, okay?
Yes.
Let's make a pledge and go out and be that difference that we want to see in others. What about the four traits that high hope people share? This will be the last question as we wrap things up here, Libby. You and I could be talking for days about this stuff. This is really good stuff. Four traits that high people share, which low hope people don't.
Well, I'm going to count us both in this, but we set a greater number of goals.
Mm-hmm.
We set goals that are more difficult, more ambitious to attain, yet we're more successful at reaching our goals and we have less distress and more happiness along the way. We believe we control our destiny and we can make the future happen.
Exactly. Where do they go for more information?
You can go right to my website at LibbyGill.com and download a chapter right there or pre-order the book or go to Amazon and buy The Hope-Driven Leader.
Let me tell you, you're going to be blessed with this, ladies and gentlemen. Quite inspiring, and there's great insight here that Libby Gill shares with us. Libby, thank you so much for your vulnerability and your honesty and The Hope-Driven Leader. Harness the power of positivity at work. Libby Gill on Bill Martinez Live. Thank you, Libby. Have a great day.
Thank you.
When did your light bulb go off? We're talking about that idea you have for a new product or app. Listen, if you want to make your idea a priority, but you don't know how to get it off the ground, you call Davison, the one company with over 25 years experience and exclusive process that turns ideas into products and apps that are found in retail stores and online. Our team has helped tens of thousands of people, just like you. Call now and ask for our free idea starter guide. We'll show you how to securely get started and protect your idea. Whether you have a patent or not, our process will get your idea ready to get in front of a corporation. Don't let your light bulb of an idea go out. Call Davison now for your free idea starter guide. Davison charges fees for services. 800-211-8392. 800-211-8392. 800-211-8392. Again, that's 800-211-8392.
Life insurance is one of those things that just about everybody needs, but few people actually have. Hey, if you die unexpectedly without life insurance, guess what? You'll leave your family with even a bigger mess. Life insurance will help replace your family's income. It'll help cover burial expenses. Life insurance can even help pay off debt like credit cards and medical bills. Life insurance can even pay for college. And if you own a business and you die, life insurance can help your business from collapsing. It can even help cover estate taxes. Life insurance has never been more affordable and needed. Plus, you can always shop around even if you have a plan and save some money. So call the Life Insurance Quote Line right now for free pricing information.
800-915-9164.
800-915-9164. 800-915-9164. That's 800-915-9164.
Water is the single most important thing your body needs, so you want to be sure it's the best for you and your family. Since 2005, thousands have depended on Berkey Purified Water. The Berkey guy provides the lowest priced filtration systems in every size. For incredibly delicious water now and in an emergency, get to GoBerkey.com or call 877-886-3653. 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com.
Don't become dependent on the medical system. Get and stay healthy naturally with Extendivite. Metals in the liver cause peroxides to get dumped into the bloodstream. Peroxides do more damage than free radicals to the arteries, and the LDL has no protection from peroxides, causing the LDL to get stuck in the arteries, creating a potential blockage. Extendivite slowly chelates the metals away from the liver so it can dispose of what was meant to be a harmless process, peroxide. Extendivite 7 herbs has a job to strengthen the organs and circulatory highway. Can you afford a heart attack? Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNloans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNloans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNloans.com. That's GCNloans.com.
We don't see color here. We just love America.
You call me out on the grave, so I can live like I've been changed. There is a new song in my soul, and it begins when I'm breathing your word of life.
Bill Martinez live.
Hey, it's the way you like us, fresh every day, 9 to noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific. Welcome back. Or if you're in Alohaville, then 3 to 6 Hawaiian time. Good morning. Just about 14 minutes before the top of the hour, and Kona Boy is with us right now. He is back from the Big Island himself, back home, kissing the ground that he loves to walk on. Bob Waldaszewski. How you doing, Robert?
Good morning.
Yeah. Do you like that? I mean, I'm just only a little bit giddy because you know what time it is here, right?
Yeah, I'm so jealous. Always so jealous. So it's 4 hours different. So for me, so we're talking 4:47 in the morning, huh?
Well, yeah.
And you've been going strong for how long now?
Well, yeah, exactly. Well, since mucho early, you know, they say, you know, like they say in Coco, it's the madrugada. It's very early here, you know. So if I can say that, but good fun.
Yeah, well, I know how that is, you know. So hopefully you get a good nap in later on today. So.
Well, definitely do that. But we've had a great time with the Gret Sun. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Well, Bob Waldaszewski, Focus on the Family's Director of Media and Culture, here to talk about, talk about Chappaquiddick. Why not?
Well, you know, actually, I want to start by talking about A Quiet Place. I want to move to Chappaquiddick.
Oh, okay. All right. So we're going to go upside down. See, you gave it to me in the other order here. Okay. All right. Quiet Place.
But the reason why I want to start with A Quiet Place is because, surprisingly, it's the number one film in the nation with $50 million. So it knocked everybody off the perch, and it came at number one. Now, it's billed as a horror film, Bill, and you know me long enough. We've been talking that it's going to be a real negative thing I'm going to say about it. But I actually liked this film, and I didn't see it as a horror film at all. I think it was misjudged. I call it a survival film. And I liked it, surprisingly liked it. I mean, when I'm walking out of the theater and the people with their clipboards or, you know, say, Bob, what'd you think of this one? And I said, I am surprised, but I am liking this film.
Mm-hmm.
And here's the reason why. It imagines a world where some space aliens are landed on the planet. They have no eyeballs, but they have these huge ears and can hear. And so it focuses in on this one family who's learned to live with sign language and writing notes because they can't speak, and they better not speak because these space aliens will hear them and kill them. Now, I know. Now, my wife would have not liked this film at all. I get it. It's not her genre, and even though it's not really a horror film. But it was just, I love the dynamics of this family. They're prayerful. They cared about each other. They're sacrificial. I surprised me. We gave this one a surprising 3 out of 5 for family friendliness.
And kind of amazing, the budget, $17 million, $50 million right out the gate. I mean, they're right in the black first week, and, you know, that's not often heard of.
And Emily Blunt and John Krasinski, who are the main stars in this film, are husband and wife in real life. So the dynamic of them playing husband and wife in the film, it translates pretty well on the screen. So
exactly. Well, wow. Well, big numbers, over 14,000 per theater average. Looked pretty good. That's great.
Yeah, pretty good. So anyways, moving on to Chappaquiddick. Those of us of a certain age can remember, even in the news, this was 2 days before the moon landing in 1969. Edward Kennedy and a certain secretary named Mary Jo Kopechnik left the party on Chappaquiddick, and the next thing you know, he went off a bridge that had no guardrail. The car went upside down. She died in the car, and he survived. I thought this film was pretty fair. It didn't try to imagine things that we don't know for sure that happened. For instance, an affair. There was people that talked about it, lines like maybe that happened, but it didn't try to say it did. Didn't show a scene. For instance,
it kind of suggested it a little bit, but it really steered away. We spoke with one of the producers, Mike Giardi, the former Major League Baseball player who turned producer. And I said, you know, you guys handled this pretty fairly, all things considered. I mean, you stayed out of, you know, the controversial, you know, conspiracy type theories. But you let it be known that it was, you know, there's stuff there. I mean, why would she leave the party, you know, with Kennedy? And there was kind of suggestion that there might have been some interest there. But here's this, you know, upstart, accomplished 29-year-old political strategist, and she ends up alone with Ted Kennedy, and her fate is sealed. Sad.
And of course, what it more than anything in this film that I found very interesting is it's trying to ask the question without really answering, which is, did Senator Kennedy do everything in his power to try to get her free once the car hit the water? And I think historically, from what we know and from this movie, the answer is no, he really didn't. Anyways, I liked the film quite a little bit. I was, I found it incredibly interesting, again, because I thought it was very fair. But also, we gave this one a 2.5, Bill, because I felt that the language was a little excessive, a little harsh, quite harsh at times. Mm. And sadly, that was really the only thing that marred it was the language, but there was quite a little bit of it. So,
well, it gives you a little bit more background into the Kennedys. I mean, CNN right now doing their expose on the Kennedy family. And this gives you another perspective on, you know, their political ambitions and Joe Kennedy and, you know,
especially
some of the
Joe Kennedy, you know, the dad,
right.
Dad and son. That was a surprise for me how much the movie said Edward Kennedy's motivation so much in life was to please his dad. And it did, in a dad that apparently was impossible to please.
Yeah.
You know, so And last week, there was a movie out this weekend that came in at number 11, still made $4 million, which I think is pretty respectable, called The Miracle Season. And I really like this little film. It tells the inspiring and true story of Iowa City West High School girls volleyball team, who in 2010 won a state championship. They were gearing up to be state champions for 2011 because basically everybody was back, especially their star center. And then her name is Caroline Found, had a tragic and very surprising moped accident right before their first game and died. And then 12 days later, Caroline's mom, who was kind of like the team's biggest fan in the stands, lost a battle with pancreatic cancer. So now the team is totally devastated. Helen Hunt plays the coach. She plays a very devastated, down in the dumps. How do you rally the troops back to a season when your star center is just passed away and her mom too? Of course, it's not called The Miracle Season to tell us how many games they lost. They did start losing by six in a row until they finally things kicked in. But even though I knew where this movie was going, it was incredibly predictable. I liked it quite a little bit and felt it was very family friendly. We gave it a 4 out of 5. So
something brand new
at the theater. And by the way, I can only imagine made another $8 million over the weekend, putting it in the almost $70 million camp. Good for those guys. It's huge dollars. It's a great movie. I'm very happy for the Irwin brothers and those. They marketed it well. Everything was going for this one, I think.
Well, it was one of those movies you and I talked about, Bob, that was going to, you know, hold on. I mean, in terms of, you know, a lot of movies come and, you know, after the first weekend, they begin to fade. But you and I talked about the staying power, if I can only imagine. There's something real special about it. I mean, not only because because of the song, but the meaning of it. And, again, I'm hearing more and more how the hearts of the fathers and the turned back to each other as a result of this movie.
Yeah, and that is one of its main and central messages, which, of course, those of us who didn't know the story behind the song until we saw the movie didn't realize that Bart Millard was writing a really about his father when he wrote this song, and can only imagine what it might be to have a reunion with his dad someday. So
exactly,
pretty good.
Yeah, really brings a new meaning to the song that's been around, for over a decade, and here it is. Getting a whole new rebirthing, if you might say. And the other thing, too, that I'm pleased to see, Bob, is the number of theaters that are believing in this that picked it up. I mean, almost 3,000 theaters across the country carrying, I can only imagine. Remember when it started out, what did it start out with, about 1,600? Something there?
I was thinking 1,500-ish. And,
right.
But because Hollywood didn't believe in it, and so it wasn't they didn't book the theaters. I mean, the theaters didn't book it, is what it was.
Yes, right, exactly.
And then all of a sudden, when those theater owners realized that it was the number three film in the nation when it came out, and they went, okay, well, we don't understand this audience, but apparently we ought to book it in our community, and that's what they did. So, now, like I said, almost up to 3,000 theaters. Good for them.
Without a doubt. And, of course, Paul, Apostle of Christ and God's Not Dead continues to be in the top 20. We love the soundtrack from God's Not Dead with Kirk Franklin. Boy, I'll tell you, that is real special. We've played that many times on the show and probably will continue to do so. It's quite uplifting. Bob Walaszewski from Focus on the Family on Bill Martinez Live. Thank you, Robert. Aloha.
It's about time something new came along for better selling and buying online. And I found it.
What now, Marge?
It's buysellmakeoffer.com.
Never heard of it.
It's a brand new company. That's why you've never heard of it. It's the newest and best way to sell any products online. I did all the research.
Sell my car?
Yes.
Our home?
Yep.
My golf bag?
Your golf clubs. All of them.
How about your purse collection hoard?
Hey, now.
You said any product.
Right. I did. We get 30 days free.
Really?
Packages starting from only $9.95. And buysellmakeoffer.com will never charge item fees, ever. Never. And this is cool. Listen to this. You can even use Skype or video to show your items.
That's cool.
Yes. All we have to do is go to the website, sign up, and then load our stuff to sell. I love this site.
BuySellMakeOffer.com.
BuySellMakeOffer.com. You got it?
BuySellMakeOffer.com.
BuySellMakeOffer.com. Better selling, better buying.